Now, let me bring in one of the stars of the World Wrestling Federation. He hails from Canada.
It's about time. It's about time, you know.
Let's get to the important stuff.
The important stuff. The people want to see me. I'm a Canadian, you know. I'm from Canada.
I know, and...
That's right. Are you from Canada? Where are you from?
You're so smart.
It doesn't matter anyway. The interview is talking about me. I'm the Iron Man. And I'm big, and I'm strong, and I'm looking for competition. You know what? I got a lot of problem finding competition. People are afraid of me. Something about being a crowbar and a cement mixer and all that. I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard you're a crowbar.
I'll tell you something. I love to wrestle. I love to fight. And I love to win. And I'm a winner.
Take a breath. Let me ask you. What's this you have on your forearm?
Look at that arm there. Look at that, huh? You know how I built that arm? You know how I built? I didn't build that in the gym with pumping little dumbbells and taking steroids.
I was out in the woods.
I was swinging an axe, building arms, power. That's real strength. And when I get in the ring and I get this arm swinging just like a big axe, boom! And my opponent goes flying. And you know what? You know what? I win again. I win again. I'm a constant winner. Of course, anybody could see that. Look at me. Look at me. I'm a pitcher. I'm a winner of victory, and I love it.
Big as an ox, strong as an ox.
That's right.
And about as smart as...
Hey, you never talked about my pop or my uncle, did you?
No.
Tell the people about it. Tell them all about it. I'll tell them about it. You know, my father and my uncle were the world tag team champions for 5 years straight. How about that? You betcha. And I'm a champion, too. And everybody's running from me. And I don't blame them, because they're scared of the Iron Man. And I'd be scared of myself, too.
Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Baby, oil and blow. Yeah.
Every week I'm like, there's no way he's going to be able to come up with a song cooler than the one he sang last week. And then over and over again, you just pull one out and blow my hair back every single goddamn time. I don't know how you do it.
That was one of the coolest. I'll tell you how I do it. And it's because I'm more beers into the game than I usually am when we're doing this.
Yeah.
Because we were doing a little 25th anniversary of Nitro parties tonight.
This is because we've been having Nitro parties for 25 years.
25 years of Nitro parties.
Before Nitro was even a concept, somehow we were getting together and celebrating that shit every Monday night.
Absolutely.
We're doing it again.
Eazy-E came to us. You know what? I'm burying in the lead here. And the lead story is that...
What is it?
It's me. It's big time. Matt O with me as always. He's going to be Kevin Nash to my Scott Hall because I'm beers deep right now. Talking about Nate Adams.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody.
Yeah. Bring yourself
really
in there.
Really got conned by that WWF.
Yep.
Tricking us into watching that 4 hours of Monday Night Raw.
Like, in all fairness, I texted you and I was like, I'm probably going to watch that.
Yeah, you did. This is on your head mostly.
No. I just put that on me. I was like, let's podcast. Let's get it out of the way because I'm going to have to sit through that 3 hour shit show and watch all of it. And you were like, oh, maybe that's a thing I'd like to watch too.
Listen, I just couldn't do it before the Raw. So I was like, if I'm going to be waiting around until fucking midnight when they're finally done dragging out old guys to do nothing, then I guess we'll just watch the whole thing.
Yeah, they were pretty old.
But
the women looked all right.
The women looked great.
Terry Rollins,
all women look great. All women are beautiful.
That's very...
You know I believe that to my core.
It's very 2018.
All women are beautiful and believe women also.
Is that like,
hashtag no more rape.
No, I don't think that's what the
tag they're doing now. All the actresses are getting together and
I don't think that's the word.
Had enough of the constant raping that happens.
It's good that they had that meeting.
It used to
like,
be rape.
Hey, you know what? I'm over.
The world used to be run on rape. Now it's run on hashtag no more rape. We're living in a new world and it's a better one. We really made a lot of progress.
Yeah.
Well, all women are beautiful.
You know.
There's no difference between other cultures either. They're all equal.
I don't know where that's coming from.
They're all perfectly equal.
I don't know. What's going on there?
I'm just saying, we're not saying white power anymore.
Oh, we're not?
No, that's not a thing we're going to do.
When was that decided?
It's not a thing we're going to do.
Huh. I think I missed that meeting.
Back in the 1980s, though, they were saying white power a
lot. Were
they? There was a lot of racist stuff on these TV shows.
Yeah.
We got another one.
You want to talk about
it? Primetime Wrestling. January 4th, 1988. Women were getting raped. Everybody was racist.
There was sexism in this one, yeah.
And you could bleed on pro wrestling.
You could bleed.
It's like we were cavemen back there. I don't know what we were thinking in the 1980s.
You know.
Like cocaine flowing through everybody's veins. It's like we were a culture of psychopaths. That was a really cool
cocaine.
Song.
Cocaine. Is that like the ultimate dad rock song?
I think dads are definitely going to put that in their top three, but they got to make room for some Seeger to get up there. Like, definitely some Seeger's going to be in there. And then George Thorogood, like, you can't discount him. Like, probably Bad to the Bone is the number one dad song of all time.
Yeah.
But I'm going to put Cocaine in, like, at least the top five.
Get high, get high, get high.
Cocaine.
It's time for the rundown right now.
Oh, who's paying for it this week?
You know who's paying for
Stifler's
it. Stifler presents the rundown.
Cha-ching.
That movie, The Rundown.
Cha-ching.
Sponsors our rundown. I'm going to put a little disclaimer in here before we run down all these matches. Normally, we're in here just bitching about how interminably long these shows we watch seem and how they just go on forever and forever. And at one point, I thought to myself, like, how much more time do I have to watch this show? And like, I paused it, and there was only like 10 minutes left, and I was like, really? So I might have fallen asleep for like a huge chunk of this show and
I
just
think
missed
you
it
did.
As it played.
Okay. I split this one into two parts over two separate days.
That's kind of what I did too. Yeah. And like when I went back to watch my second part, which I thought was going to be like an entire second half of the show, there was only like 12, 10 minutes or something like that left. And I'm like, oh, I think I might have fallen asleep during a long show.
I've
got all these matches down.
I'll walk.
Maybe
you
I didn't.
It. Yeah.
Either way, first one I know for sure was Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Versus that big Samoan Sika.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, okay. So far, one for one. Duggan wins after that three-point stance clothesline he does.
He did.
His clotheslines are more powerful if you squat down before him. It's just wrestling physics.
Doy.
After that, I got Hillbilly Jim, the big old hillbilly, in there with Canadian strongman Dino Bravo. Dino Bravo wins after just kneeing him to his lower back a little
bit.
It did not look like
something. Well, he was
distracted. Frenchie Martin. Got a distraction.
Distracted.
When you're distracted, getting kneed hurts more. I mean,
duh.
Once again, just more wrestling physics there.
Doy.
After that, we've got Jacques and Raymond, Les Rougeaux Fabuleux versus Los Conquistadors.
Yeah.
Jacques wins after sort of the worst top rope senton bomb that anyone's ever done in the history of pro wrestling.
I loved it. More on that later.
You know, would have been fine if they were just pulled the Conquistador out a little bit and not had him directly under the fucking...
Yeah, we get it. The announcer said it.
Ring awareness, dum-dums. Learn how to fucking wrestle.
Yeah.
Sensational Sherry Martel.
Mm.
She's in there against the one and only Velvet McIntyre.
Maggie McIntyre.
McIntyre kind of goes for a big old crossbody on Sherry, and Sherry just keeps that momentum going and rolls through it, and then she gets
the
pin.
Rolls through for the W.
Got some point-at-your-noggin wrestling smarts right there.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got Special Delivery Jones, SD Jones versus our man, Iron Mike Sharp. And, you know, we're going to be hearing a lot more about this, I'm sure, because in one of the biggest things that's ever happened in wrestling, Mike Sharp won a match.
Say it again.
Mike Sharp won a match.
My guy.
Good God Almighty, Mike Sharp won a match with a big old roundhouse to the noggin. Mike wins.
He punched him in the head.
Big time main event after this. Bam Bam Bigelow versus King Kong Bundy.
Mm-hmm.
And Bigelow wins after a splash. I think I watched the entire show because he didn't stop me at any point. That must just mean I was blind drunk when I was watching it and
good
zoned
for you.
Out most of it.
Good for you. You earned it.
I think I did that.
Yeah.
After the bars, I just sat down and watched this shit. And I was like, I'll only get through a few minutes. I got through 90% of the show.
After the bars, the
while
Nate
blind
Adams
drunk.
Story.
Yeah, after the bars, colon, blind drunk and watching 1980s pro wrestling, colon,
the Nate Adams story,
colon, a tragedy.
Yeah.
So if that's the whole show, that's the whole show, that's the whole rundown, then we move into,
we did
you know
it.
How it goes.
Yeah.
Sing along with us. You've listened to this before. unless somehow this is the first time you've been listening. And then
yeah,
why?
Welcome.
And then
yeah,
why?
Welcome
I don't know how that happened.
Shame on you.
How'd you stumble across
yeah,
this?
Yeah, not like, oh, you should have been listening. Just like more like you could probably do something.
Get
better.
Your life together. Yeah. Like you weren't listening to this.
Don't you have a family?
Somehow you're just like, you know what I'm going to do? Spend the next fucking 90 minutes of my life listening to nobody's.
I have a feeling you're responsible for somebody. So shame on you.
Oh, yeah. Your little kids. They're probably sitting in their own filth right now.
Eating boogers.
Five count is what I was getting at. After this, we go into the five count.
Oh, yeah, five count.
Where we pick our five big talking points from the episode. You know.
Big, big, big.
Just draw this thing out a little bit. The whole point of it is to draw this out a little bit. So it looks like a big, meaty podcast full of audio content. Content is king here in 2018. Not rape anymore. Used to be an economy of rape. Now it's an economy of content.
We're getting rid of it.
Society's changed. Trump is bringing about a lot of change.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of you people on the internet don't want to give him credit, but you know, that's
everybody,
your own failure.
He ran under that no rape platform.
That's your own failure.
Yeah.
Rape is finally over, and who did it?
Donnie.
What's your number one?
I'm going to skip over the first two matches.
Wow.
Unless you want to talk about one
move.
Of them.
Well, we can go back if I think about something. I'm not going to worry about it too much.
I will say that it really dawned on me that Hacksaw Jim Duggan's just wrestling under a Hulk Hogan with Down syndrome gimmick.
Oh, that's not a gimmick, brother. That's a shoot.
Oh, he's really got it?
Like, they don't want him to act like that. This is all just incidental.
Oh, God bless him then.
Luckily enough, you know...
Good for him.
Makes him a sympathetic character. The fans really got behind it. So they're like, oh, good. We don't have to cover the fact that he has Down syndrome anymore. We can just run with it.
If I had one critique, I'd say drop the trunks. I like when he had like the loose-fitting shorts later in his career.
Oh, yeah.
You remember those?
The old man legs sticking out of those blue shorts.
Instead of the trunks, though.
Veiny old man legs.
Maybe I'd just have him wrestling in sweatpants with one of them, you know, like.
Big old boners?
Yeah. There you go. Yep.
Okay.
You get it.
Hashtag, we're not saying that R word anymore. So.
Yeah, Donnie got away with that, too.
I'm picking
he
up
did
what
away
you're putting
with
down.
That.
Yeah.
I'm going to skip all the way ahead into our big breaking news story of the week.
Oh, wow. What happened?
Matilda.
Oh, I wanted
is
to talk
missing.
About Matilda being missing, too.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happened to Matilda?
This is great shit. This is 80s wrestling shit right here. You got yourself a storyline. You got yourselves
an animal
that's
being drug around the country for
they like to do
no
this
reason.
In the 80s. Yet
some poor little creature being mistreated terribly, I'm sure, on a day-to-day basis.
Like, come on, that dog's not scared shitless sitting in front of 84,000 people in the garden, you know?
You got to get that dog stoned before you bring him out there. He's going to freak the fuck out, man.
So
blowing clouds in that dog's face all fucking afternoon, I guarantee it.
You got good guys, you got bad guys, and apparently the good
Give
guys
some of them.
In the story are the British Bulldogs.
Yeah.
And apparently, quote unquote, the bad guys.
Since when do we like people from Britain?
Yeah.
News to me.
Right? Last I checked, we fought those guys in World War II.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Bunch of tea drinkers. Get them out of here.
And Heenan's representing our boys, the Islanders.
That's right.
Some nice boys.
Thick
caramel skin gentlemen with hard heads.
Classy.
And
they wear those nice necklaces as their aunt made them.
They allegedly stole Matilda.
Just because you take somebody's dog and run away with it doesn't mean that you stole it.
And that's what the brain pointed out. He said, we didn't steal it. We just took it backstage. We got backstage and that rabid infested dog tried to bite us.
Yeah, you don't train your dog and it runs away. What's that got to do with me?
Yeah, so Heenan was just trying to hightail it out of there. He's not a bad guy at all.
No. No, he's got to save himself. The dog went nuts.
Yeah.
It's not his fault.
How about, luckily it happened to poor old Bobby the Brain Heenan, you know? What if that dog would have bit one of the adoring fans in the front row? That would have been a PR nightmare for Vince.
What if? Let's
assume that it did.
I wonder how many times a fan got bit by that dog.
Last week when we wondered how many kids got impaled by the barber's shears.
Oh, some kid lost a thumb,
at least
a pinky finger, something.
You don't let a man
slap his arm.
You don't let a man on that much cocaine run full speed to the ring just opening and closing garden
and
shears.
You don't let a dog on that much cocaine around children. Clearly. I learned that the hard way at my eighth birthday party.
That's right. That's why you only have eight toes.
The big highlight of this whole segment, though, was, you know, the Bobby Heenan, he's classic slimeball Heenan stuff, just not taking the blame, claiming that they didn't steal the dog, even though no one still found the dog. And then they cut to the Bulldogs, who have to sell that they're crying. Just you take two jacked up idiot, just pro wrestlers from Britain. Davey Boy Smith can, you know, barely wrap his steroid tongue around words as it is. And then you got him
when you
selling,
compare it to somebody else, though, he's talking real well.
That he's gonna cry like he's some kind of Hollywood actor. Just, oh, this is good stuff.
Give us our dog Matilda.
Good corny ass 80s stuff.
We miss our dog Matilda.
This is going to work.
Give us our dog Matilda.
These fans in the crowd, they're going to be sad that this dog is, I don't know, maybe he's gone to a puppy mill. I don't know where he is.
Can I ask you
he
the
might
real
be in a wood chipper.
Can I ask you the real
I
question at hand here?
Matilda, she's got curves.
I'm going to ask you the real question.
Real women have curves.
The real question.
And they're all beautiful.
You ready for this?
What is it?
What language was Dynamite Kid speaking?
Steroids.
It
could have been brain injury.
He sounded like train spotting.
Yeah, I thought he was from Britain, but he had some Creole in there a little bit.
Is that
came from the bayous of Britain, I think.
Is it CTE?
Yes.
Is it foreign?
Yes.
Is it drugs?
Yes.
Is it steroids?
Keep going. Yes.
Like, I didn't know which one of those to hang that hat on, you know?
Royal flush.
He's just like...
Check down the whole list.
Davey Boy at least tried to, like, put words together to form sentences. He's just like,
we miss our dog.
Well, Dynamite's, you know, the leader of the team. He's the older. He was responsible for that dog. It's really hitting him hard.
And he came
in and he was
like... It's hitting him hard.
And then, like, face in his hands, like,
idiots.
I'm really looking forward to this Islanders Bulldog match, though, and I hope that, you know, it ends with maybe Bobby Heenan, like, hanging Matilda in the middle of the arena.
Just
hang that dog.
I just like that it was so serious of an angle that we got president of the WWF.
Jack Tunney sighting
involved, and he came out and was even like, "This is, you know."
Yeah, they only pull him out
steal a dog
when shit is off the rails. It's not like that fucking wrestling now, where every show kills fucking 40 minutes with some
authority
figure
some authority
coming out,
and that's
like,
bullshit, man.
Let me tell you
that's
about
bullshit.
How we wrote this show today. First, we're gonna have this match.
I love the fact.
No need.
And I've stated it before. I love the fact WWF, they've got the president, Jack Tunney. WCW, they have the committee of champions
NWA
or whatever. Yeah, whatever it is who vote on who should get title shots.
A lot of fingers in that pie.
You're making it feel official. You're not dragging them out there to kill time every week like you just stated. You just, when shit's important, you're like, hey, here's the boss guy. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, this shit's important.
And it is not going to be some sort of flashy performer because he's a stuffed suit, man.
Yeah,
this is the guy running the show.
He doesn't have to be a flashy performer. He's just there to sign shit and pass bills along.
Yeah, fine people when they, you know, step out of the bounds of pro wrestling and do things like steal dogs.
Bobby the Brain Heenan.
What about
told
him?
Us
I met him.
That commander, excuse me,
familiar
not,
with him.
Not commander. Commandant Swaggler was on the case.
Yeah,
I want to know more about this guy. I was going to bing it. I was going to stick it in the old bing box.
I'm going to tell you right
Did
now.
You?
He had to resign in disgrace. There's a lot of darkness in his life.
I was wondering if we were going to get a payoff there.
A whole child trafficking ring. And turns out, you know, he was a part of it.
Alleged.
There's a lot of kickbacks going on.
I don't think
they
ever hung that on him.
Pretty small on his list of...
Oh, motherfuckers forgive Mike Vick, but, you know.
That's right. We have forgiven Mike Vick because
bullshit.
He didn't do anything wrong.
Bullshit, CEO.
Those dogs wanted to fight.
Mm-hmm.
They would have been fighting anyways. He just gave them a venue.
They're violent dogs.
He gave them an opportunity to get in front of an audience. They should be thanking him. I'm going to move on here. I got a number one, too.
You're allowed to. Uno. Yeah. That's the format of the show.
We're dissing on that WCW, man, about how they got...
I don't think I ever have.
None of the attention to detail that WWF does. You know, it's just stuff that doesn't make any sense.
Your words, not mine.
Easily overlooked. WWF does a much better job, but there was some shit that pissed me off at the very beginning here. Where,
what's that, Fred?
We're going into that... big first match with Jim Duggan, and Bobby Heenan's just running through all sorts of sweet Vegas insults about Jim Duggan. You know, talking about he lost all his money outside putting money in the parking meter, blah, blah, blah. You know, he's so dumb, he thinks a parking meter is a slot machine, essentially. Yeah. Zing, good joke. But then they cut to the match. Heenan's on commentary, and he's doing all the same material. We hear it two in a row. We're starting to realize, hey, this ain't off-the-cuff shit. This guy's got prepared lines, and he's running through them over and over again.
It's just like when my nephew exposed me for doing bits.
Oh, man, that little fucker.
It's like, you're six. How do you know what a bit is, man? Well, and don't tell the other little kids that I do bits.
Yeah. I guess you learn when you're just around like an annoying old man who like won't stop saying the same shit over and over again, and then... poking you in the ribs with his elbow, being like,
But isn't that what we kind of aspire to be?
Well, that's...
I finally made it.
You're right as a gross old man to annoy little children with your stupid shit they don't care about. So yeah, just twice in a row on the same show. Somebody should have been watching this and being like, we can't have him say the same thing twice. No. Hey, Bobby, let's recut that intro because we're going to be... cutting right to you saying the exact same shit twice in a row. And somebody should be doing that. Producer Bruce Pritchard is what I saw in the credits. Brother Love made your big comeback to WWF tonight on that Raw we were watching.
His face
back then, you were behind the scenes pissing me off by not getting all these details.
His face is still really red.
Still really
red.
It
hasn't cleared up. Has not.
You should get a balm or something. Mm. Somebody should give that man an ointment.
Who told you to put a balm on it?
Do you know what a balm does?
You put the balm on? Who told you to put the balm on? I didn't tell you to put the balm on. Why'd you put the balm on? You haven't even been to see the doctor. If you're going to put a balm on, let a doctor put a balm on.
I guess I screwed up, huh, Jackie?
You damn right you screwed up. Where the hell did you get that damn balm anyway?
The maestro.
The who? What are you talking about, maestro?
My friend, he's a conductor.
Oh, so a maestro tells you to put a bomb on and you do it?
Well, my stomach was burning.
I'll tell you what this is. This is a public humiliation.
Well, I didn't know the bomb was gonna work.
Do you know what a bomb is? You ever seen a bomb? Didn't you read the instructions?
Well, I was...
No one can tell what a bomb's gonna do. They're unpredictable.
But I'm sorry, Jackie.
Pull over here, driver. This is it.
Yeah. Get him.
That's my number one. I'm just saying. Like, tit for tat. I'm going to be a little bit fair here. I'm ripping on those Southern boys, so...
I always
knew... When they fuck up north, I'm going to point that out, too.
I always
said...
Tough
but fair.
I always said you were a Dave Crockett apologist.
Who would you say that to?
Everybody.
Wow. Nobody told me you've been saying that.
Oh, I'm on the...
Thanks for nothing, everybody
else
out there.
I'm on the dirt sheets just talking shit about you on the message boards. I got another number two.
Okay, let's hear it.
I'm going to talk about
the... Just come out with it.
The Ragu? Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah, the Ragu.
Great Ragu?
I don't speak the French like you do.
No, oui.
Versus the Conquistadors.
Je catch von Dixnoid problem et on salope n'est pas on. Bête à moi.
Dixnoid.
Yeah.
He said Dixnoid.
Okay, what about those Rougeos? They're French-Canadian,
and
by
the
way.
Conquistadors.
It doesn't even count.
The match.
I don't even know how to speak French up there.
Just the match.
It.
I like the match.
Okay.
I thought it was all right.
I had a big problem with it.
What's that?
My big problem is you get a couple of fucking idiot French Canadians sounding all foreign. Why are you trying to tell me that they're good guys?
Well, yeah, that's
true. That makes no goddamn
sense. That's true. You push them heel all the way.
They did great as heels.
You're from a different country. You speak a different language.
You ever hear anybody talking about their face run before they turned heel? No, because it was a terrible idea from the start.
Really, I just like the Conquistadors. I thought they were really good.
A couple of big boys for Mexicans,
They moved, man. A
couple of big boys for Mexicans.
They moved.
I'm sure that they were Mexicans.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm going to take the WWF's word for it.
They had the hoods on, you know? They're the real deal.
I'll tell you what I liked in there. Conquistadors, one of them's distracting the ref, and the other one's choking a guy with a tag rope.
Yeah.
You don't see anybody choking people with tag ropes anymore. That's a lost art that needs to come back.
We had some good crowd stuff, too.
What was going on in
the
crowd?
There was a dipshit dressed like Elvis carrying some kind of sign. I couldn't make out what the sign said.
Oh, yeah. I saw somebody who was wearing, like, glitter from
head
to toe.
Halfway through the match.
Yeah,
there's like, two of them.
Were they in a consistent arena this week? I felt like we kept jumping back and forth. were from different places.
I want to say they were mostly in the Garden.
Yeah, it was the Garden crowd where we had all these yahoos trying to get themselves over in goofy outfits.
There was some kid later on that was like, he looked like an extra in the Beastie Boys Fight for Your Right to Party video.
Oh, man.
And I knew we were in New York at that point, you know?
I was in a cafe a couple days ago, and in the bathroom of this cafe, they've just got a framed picture of the Beastie Boys, like classic, like licensed ill era Beastie Boys. And, you know, I always look at it, and I'm just like, oh, that's kind of a nice photo. I was sitting there, and this girl, God, she had to have been like mid-20s, and her like boyfriend of the same age, just like not like little children, not teenagers, people who definitely should know better. She comes out of the bathroom. He's waiting for her. She just goes, do you know who that picture is of in the bathroom? And I was just like, oh, God, you're dating her. Oh!
Due to a temporary local power failure, WTBS is off the air. We've been assured that everything possible is being done to correct the situation, and we will return to air as soon as possible. Once again, due to a temporary local power failure, WTBS is off the air. We've been assured that everything is being done to correct the situation, and we will return to air as soon as possible. This is Superstation WTBS, Atlanta.
Okay. Oh, my great story was interrupted.
Hey.
Let's get back into it here. So I'm just like,
we got a GoFundMe.
Dude, you're dating a dummy here. Like, you need to set this chick straight. He's just like, no, I have no idea. Is it like supposed to be somebody we're going to recognize?
Did you say
that? I don't know. That's what I was wondering too.
Did you really say that?
No, I didn't. Yeah, no. He said that to her. And neither of them had any clue that this is what the fuck goddamn Beastie Boys. And like, hey, sure, like, there's a lot of dum-dums out there. I could get it. But like, just not even like context clues, like, oh, I think it might be blah blah blah, or just like, there was like, why is that the picture of those guys in the bathroom? It's weird. And I was just like, they were 17, I would have got it, but they weren't.
These yeah, people, they're
25 if they were a day. I wanted to slap their faces.
That's
get some culture.
That's messed up,
you losers.
I saw them play live.
Oh, they're doomed then. We should, oh, wait.
Well, they, yeah, one of them did die.
Okay.
One of them did die.
The curse is alive.
Continues.
We still haven't figured out who's going down next.
Black Eyed Peas open for him.
Black Eyed Peas, we got to shoot you an email. One of you's going to die.
I want to say it was pre-Fergie, too.
Pre-Fergie Black Eyed Peas. Real good. You add Fergie to the Black Eyed Peas, they
really
suck.
Really good. What?
And then you take Fergie out of the Black Eyed Peas, and I love her solo shit.
Well,
I don't understand it.
You know my
I
thoughts.
I don't understand it.
You know my thoughts about the peeing incident.
Oh, that picture of Fergie when she peed herself?
Ooh.
Yeah, I could get chubbed up looking at that.
Ooh.
That's good stuff.
If there's one thing I love, it's a girl with meth all over her face and piss all over her pants.
Girl gets so drunk that she pees herself while doing something she wasn't supposed to? I find that erotic.
That's yeah. Ugh. Summer nights.
So the conquistadors.
What were we talking about?
I don't remember.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. None of this
lost
is real.
Lost the thread.
None of this is real.
I'm going to go back a little bit. There was something about that Sika Duggan match
something
that I wanted to bring up. Just real
Sika
quick.
Moves.
Real quick little point here. They had a nice spot. And a couple of big boys in there. They're just slugging it out. You know,
a lot of it was boring, though.
Big punches and big slams and whatnot. But there was a good point. Where they do that old spot that I don't see anymore, where they're doing a little crisscross and trying to take advantage, and both of them just run into each other and knock their noggins, and they both get knocked out. And it looks like, you know, they fucked up. They both fucked up because it was a sloppy, wild fight, and it didn't go the way they planned. And you never see shit like that in matches anymore.
Yeah.
That's designed to make it look like it's chaotic
too,
and it's like real and it's a real fight. Yeah, because everybody's trying to make everything look so slick and so impressive.
It's wrestling, it's not ballet.
That's 100% the only thing people are concerned with anymore. It doesn't even cross anybody's mind to maybe make this look like a real fight at all. And Duggan and Sika, say what you will about them being boring, and at least they were doing some shit to make this look like goddamn professional wrestling.
Yeah. Hacksaw.
Brain
kept calling him Duggum.
Well, you know, he's just a ham and egg. Her brain's not going to bother learning this guy's name.
Yeah, it's pretty
what
funny.
What does he care?
I also like
from Beverly Hills.
I also like...
Where's Duggan from?
Brain yelling for Sika to get the board.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good bit.
Yeah. That was,
Sika, get the board!
Guy brings a board out. Why not just steal it from him?
Yeah.
Bobby Heenan started to figure things out here in 1988.
Pretty
he's
smart
1987,
guy.
Not so good, but now he's just like, these guys that keep beating my guys, I'm just going to steal their stuff.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Get the board.
You got another one?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. I'm moving all the way through. We keep talking about mine. I got some doubled up. I'm up to number four. I lost track here.
You're on four?
I'm up to four, yeah.
I'm pretty sure I'm on three. So.
Yeah, you are. I wanted to do that Matilda one, too. We already talked about
that's
it.
That's fair. That's
so,
fair. That's
you know,
fair.
I'm just bouncing back
that's
and
fair.
Forth.
That's fair. My number three. So, yeah, you
playing
just did your
ear.
Number
I'm
three.
Playing
I'm doing
this by
my
ear.
Number three. Sensational Sherry versus Velvet McIntyre.
Oh, that's my number four. We just keep running through
this
these things.
Nuts.
This is great.
This is nuts. I liked it because the match started off really well,
mm-hmm.
and then it ended really terribly.
Yeah, it did. End pretty terribly.
Yeah.
But
Sensational
went too
Sherry.
Long is the problem.
That's the problem.
I think
that's
maybe like why I like blacked out for a while and didn't know I'd watch this whole episode. I'm used to matches not lasting for like 45 minutes
right.
like this one did.
It definitely was not the usual bad we're used to, where everything's just like a mess and it's just like,
I'm a creature of habit, man. I need to stick to this usual bad.
Now I'm watching this.
You can't deal with new bad.
And this was like, oh, no, this is like, they would lull you into a false sense of security
mm-hmm,
a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be like, well, maybe this isn't bad wrestling. And then all of a sudden, you just be like,
just too much back and forth. Real like storyline developed. It was kind of like, we're gonna have some moves for a while, and then we're gonna have some more moves for a while. Sherry as a character,
her heel
talk
work.
About yeah, how
her
great
heel
she
work.
Is.
My goodness.
Fucking,
she took bumps.
Every time she
made
gets bumped,
faces.
She's in the ref's face complaining that she got hit in the tits. Just like over and over. Did you see that? It's my tits again.
Yeah.
She hit me in the tits again, ref.
She
it's not illegal. She didn't attack those titties, Sherry. But I like that you're making a big deal about it because it makes you seem like a whiny baby.
Some nipples showing.
She was showing some nips?
Yeah. Oh, they're peeking right through. Oh, right through, pal.
I need to get up closer to my TV when I'm watching this shit. She's ragdolling all over the place. That was always the best shit when she was a manager. Just the way she would just attack the goddamn ground with her body like she had no will to live whatsoever.
She's making Mike Sharp noises.
Oh, that raspy-ass voice
flopping
of hers.
Around.
So annoying.
Right?
So annoying.
So erotic.
Such a great heel
tool
just that she can utilize there. Just, I'm all partied out.
Mm-hmm.
Just shrieking. Shrieking all over the fucking place. So,
my throat's
other than the
destroyed
fact that
from cocaine and men's penises.
That match went probably about like 10 minutes too long. They would just,
that quote
Sherry
will never live
on
in infamy on the internet.
We could get it up somewhere.
Nah, there's no way.
I liked Sherry.
She was
saying.
Great, man.
I forgave her for boring me with a long match.
She was great. I also enjoyed Velvet McIntyre.
Velvet McIntyre, name
she
I remember from back in the day, but I didn't really remember much about her. I think because I've just got, you know this about me, absolutely, and I think I've been doing it my whole life. I've got a long tradition of skipping women's matches when I'm watching wrestling.
That's a shame. That's a shame. They're real
wrestlers,
because
they're generally so boring.
No, they're real wrestlers.
They're generally so bad.
Too. It's a women's revolution right now in the wrestling world,
pal. I tell you. They had that 25-minute-long women's tag team match on that Raw. I wish I could have skipped it, but we were watching it live.
Oh, God.
Suckers.
That was so
we
bad.
Got suckered into that shit, man.
Until Asuka beat everybody up.
She's good.
She's
the
so
rest
good.
Of them,
she's
throw
so
them
good.
In the trash.
None of them
throw
can
them
work,
in the trash.
Man. None of them.
Especially that Sasha Banks that all you nerds on the internet think so good.
Oh, get over yourself.
She was trying to be a bad guy. She was always doing good guy shit, like crying out of gratitude and whatnot.
Yeah, and when
her
she's
entire
trying
character
to be a good
is a
guy,
heel character, but she's
bad
doing that
guy
as a
shit.
Good guy. She just fucking has no coordination. She's always like looking like she's gonna hurt somebody. What do you idiots see in this girl?
Just let
Asuka, throw her in the trash.
Just let Asuka fight Charlotte.
Yeah, those two are great.
Charlotte's good, and Tali is good.
Just let Asuka and Charlotte fight the men.
Alexa Bliss is... She's,
and then
she's
fire half the men. How many people do you have under contract, Vince?
Yeah.
What, is this a charity now?
No.
You just handing out money to anybody who says they want to be a pro wrestler?
Apollo Crews, gone.
You're looking like 1997 WCW, Vince.
Mojo Rawley,
gone. You saw
gone.
How that ended. You used to love firing people.
Mm.
So yeah, you got anything else you want to talk about?
Velvet threw some nice kicks.
Going all the way to my number five.
Oh, almost there.
Sharp match.
Real quick, I just want to talk about the Royal Rumble.
Okay, yeah, we're coming up on the first ever Royal Rumble in this 1988 timeline.
And my God, I thought we were watching WCW because nobody knew what the fuck the name of the match was. Nobody knew
they
what the fuck the name of the rules
half
were.
Of this episode,
it was
explaining
a, it
what
was
the Royal
a
Rumble
clusterfuck
is over and over again.
So mean, they toss it to Mean Gene, and he's talking about this big match coming up, and he's like, the Rumble Royal is coming up. Mm. The Rumble Royal. With me, I have one of the 30 entrants of the Rumble Royal, and it's Ron Bass, and he's going to be in the Rumble Royal. That's right, Sunday, whatever.
Producer
Rumble
Brother
Royal.
You say,
Ron
cut.
Bass.
You say, cut. That's not the name of our big special.
No.
We're going to redo this. You're going to say the name right.
They let fucking Gene. Because
this
mean
shit ain't
Gene,
going out live.
Mean Gene
so
said it like
you
82
can redo it.
Times. And like, no joke, I thought to myself, I was like, was it originally called the Rumble Royal? Like, Mean Gene's a professional 30
men,
professional.
They're going to be in the ring at the same time.
In the Rumble
and
Royal.
Like, no, I was thinking to myself, like, no, they're not going to. That's a battle royal. That's different. They're not going to be in the ring at the same time.
Yeah.
That's the whole deal with the Royal Rumble. They come out one at a time.
Here's,
you fucking dum-dums.
Here's what the trainer. It's such a train wreck, man. So Mean Gene's the professional's professional, right?
Absolutely.
If he says it, it's Bible.
Nobody else can work as drunk as Mean Gene,
right?
Because he's a goddamn. Well, I don't know.
I'm Gordon trying Sully to.
Gave him a run for his money.
I'm trying to.
You're,
and I'm not. I'm not reaching those levels.
You're the train wreck over there. You look like
I look.
Current day
I look
Mean
awful.
Gene right now.
Yeah. I. Oh yeah. I looked like him on
reanimated
25th
corpse
Raw,
that had just eaten Mean Gene Okerlund.
Oh, shout out.
Did you look at his eyes, man.
Shout out to how disgusted my girlfriend was when she looked at him and realized that that was the guy that I watch in the old wrestling that we watch.
Instantly went right back down to her
she
phone.
She was just
trying to pretend
back
like
to
she
that
wasn't
phone.
Here.
She was like, social media.
Unsettling.
Yeah.
Mean Gene.
So Mean Gene says,
it's good to see he's still alive, but
hell yeah.
Maybe
hell
he
yeah.
should rethink that.
Yeah. He should rethink being alive.
It's such a good idea after all these years of boozing, maybe not.
So after
cashing
a couple of gin cocktails, he says Rumble Royal like 38 times. Then Ron Bass comes out.
The outlaw cracking a whip.
He's doing like the classic Ron Bass.
Love his hollering promos.
He really does a good job.
Cracking
at
a
it.
Whip while he's yelling is just making him better.
Yeah, and he doesn't skip a beat. Like
he's
got
hollering,
it down.
Just hollering and hollering.
He's one of the best hollerers. I don't think we ever gave him credit when we watched that fucking couple of months of 1985 WCW.
I'd almost forgotten we'd done that, and then you brought it back again,
and Ron Bass was just hollering then, and he's hollering now, man. And he hasn't skipped a
reliving
beat.
Reliving it. I'm getting starting to get a 1,000-yard stare.
Yeah, kind of miss
about
it.
That
you
want to
watch a couple
WCW?
Later? We'll watch a couple of them later just for old time's sake. Just for us.
Gonna need a gallon of whiskey.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be good. I'll get in on that. So Ron Bass is just yelling. And then finally he just like kind of like gives a look at Gene and he's just like, Royal Rumble?
Yeah. You fucking moron.
You know, because it's the name of the match.
Didn't you see all the producers just like waving their hands and trying to get your
Royal
attention
Rumble.
The entire time you were rambling.
And so, like, he calls it the Royal Rumble, and then I'm questioning myself, like, well, maybe Mean Gene made a mistake.
Maybe Ron Bass just renamed the
Maybe Ron Bass
the Rumble Royal, and
renamed
they were like, you're
it,
right, that's smarter.
Yeah, that.
Let's go with that.
I also thought that, too. And then they throw it to a graphic that clearly states Royal Rumble.
Period.
And I'm like, oh, okay, Mean Gene just fucked up really bad. So then they
I think
toss
if it.
It
was the other way, you'd have to pronounce it Rumble Royale.
Rumble
that
Royale.
That sounds a lot better.
Then they toss it back to studio with the Brain and Gorilla. And Brain's like,
I gotta say, that outfit Gorilla Monsoon was wearing this episode, it's pretty low key. It's like standard black colors.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Wear some of your goofy ruffles.
He had the cool black Coke shades.
Yeah, the shades were nice.
But Heenan's coat killed him.
This is the most real human being clothes I've seen him wear on this show so
Heenan's
far.
Heenan's
coat on point as always. Gorilla, look a little bit more like a ridiculous asshole next week. That's all I'm asking.
So they throw it back. And the Brain's just like, I don't understand the match. He just straight up does the Matto watching WCW bunkhouse
like
brawls.
After it's been explained to us for like four times.
Yeah. And he just does the Matto watching the bunkhouse brawl royale. I don't get it. I don't understand what this is.
Well, they're breaking new ground, man.
And he's managing guys in the match. And he's just like, Nah, I don't understand.
Let's do his homework before the match happens.
He's like, I don't know what the fuck this is.
Still got like 2 weeks before this shit's going down.
And so Gorilla chimes in and he's like, well, it's very clear. It's a 20-man battle royale.
Oh, no, I believe it is 20-man, this first one. I think it was.
They said 30. They said it earlier in that promo, man.
If I remember the actual match itself, I think it is 20, and I think they didn't knock it up to 30 until the next year. We'll see that.
Swear to God they say
30.
We'll
get to it in a couple weeks and we'll watch it. It'll be great for us.
Either way, what a train wreck.
Mm-hmm.
Get your shit together. But I do like the fact that Brain's like, so this guy, and this guy can enter the match and three of them could just team up on one of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Gorilla's like, well, yeah, I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, well, Brain, you
got
guys.
This is before people knew. Yeah. How much the Royal Rumble was every man for himself.
Yeah.
It hadn't been established yet.
But Brain realized it because he goes, Brain, you got some guys in the match. What's your strategy going to be? And it's the greatest strategy of all time.
Yeah.
Everybody gives too much credence and credit to who throws out the most people. Kane's eliminated so many people. Stone Cold's eliminated so many people.
Gotta have those records.
The greatest
stats
of them all.
Love those records.
Roman Reigns, he's eliminated so many people.
Oh, what an idiot.
Brain said this. I'm going to get my guys in there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, don't worry about throwing out a single person.
Save your energy.
Wait till there's not a lot left.
Mm-hmm.
Then attack.
That's why they call him the Brain.
That's genius, man. That's genius. Just try to survive. Get out of people's way. They're going to be fighting. Go find a corner. Take a powder, man.
I might take a nap if I was in the Royal Rumble, quite frankly.
Hell yeah. Let them come to you.
Let them come to you. We got to talk about Mike Sharp now.
Can we talk about the biggest
my number point, one favorite
number one,
wrestler of all
whatever.
Time. Best wrestler ever.
This is the greatest day.
When he hit SD Jones with that haymaker and got the pin, the air got sucked out of that arena so fast. These people were shocked. They were as mad as when Brock Lesnar beat The Undertaker and ended his WrestleMania win streak. Like, it was
You're not wrong.
It was like
the
exact same reaction.
Very similar, man.
Mike Sharp winning a match. First is just you can hear the air get sucked out. Everybody's, and then the boos just started, and they were indignant at the fact that this guy got a win.
Yeah.
God bless him.
And I feel we saw these two wrestle not that long ago.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
We did.
Good chemistry, though, man.
I think I remember commenting during the match how Special Delivery Jones looked real good, but Gorilla was talking shit about him the entire match, even though he was a good guy. So I was like, this guy has to have pissed somebody off because Gorilla shit
on
him.
Yeah, he shit all over him that last time.
And here
we
go.
Him.
We get a return, and he's doing the favors. He's laying down for Mike Sharp, so I got to say, SD Jones definitely
he
has pissed somebody
him
off
later.
Backstage.
He buried him later, though, after he loses.
Mm-hmm.
Gorilla's like, yeah, you know, he's not. I don't think he's focusing on what he's supposed
to
be doing.
That's the same shit he was saying last time.
Yeah.
This guy must have been showing up yayoed out of his mind or something, like so much that, you know, even all the coked-up idiots backstage were like, oh, this guy's done way too many drugs.
Did you notice? We got a real good shot. He's got that, like, giant divot in his back that we all know about.
Yeah.
But we got a real good shot. He's got like an appendix scar real low on his trunk line.
Uh-huh.
His trunks came down a little bit and he had a real nice
That's
scar right
it
there.
Is. Vince found out he had
could have been a hernia, could have been an appendix. Like, oh, you're sickly.
Disgusting.
Get him out of here.
I don't need sickly little orphan on my roster.
He's got AIDS.
That's back when if you weren't like a top tier talent, Vince would just fire you.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have 300 ding dongs on his roster at the same time.
I hate and love something at the same time.
So many emotions roiling inside of you.
Hate
right now.
And love. I hate that they bring us to this match in progress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I want to see all of it.
I want to hear Mike Sharp jawing at the crowd as he's coming out. That's always good stuff.
But they bring us to the match in progress, and where's Mike Sharp?
Where is he?
Taking a powder.
I'll tell you what else he was doing. Some classic shit. He's looking like a big ding-dong, getting his arms tied up in the ropes, and he can't get out. That's some good stuff you can't do anymore because those ropes are too tight, so everybody could do their dumb little springboard gymnastics
and
shits.
That was so great, man. He takes that. He gets the tie up in the ropes there, and Jones is just, like, kicking the ropes and, like, making him hurt it. And And that's why their chemistry is so good, because Jones does a lot of that, like, really deliberate face shit where he's like, am I going to hit him? I'm probably going to hit him. Y'all want to see me hit him?
Tell me what you want to see.
And, like, Sharp just kills it on the, like, don't hit me. No, don't hit me.
One of the loudest in-ring wrestlers I've ever seen. Him and just, he's up there with Terry Funk when it comes to just yelling random
God
shit.
God damn it, Mick Mahan.
During the entire match, there's nothing better. Not nearly enough people in wrestling just
it
yelling
matches
crazy
up
shit during the whole match.
So damn well. He Irish whips Jones into the corner at some point and like smacks him around a little bit. And then Jones starts like his boogie up where he starts like doing the dancing and shit.
Get that boogie.
And Sharp hates
little
it.
Boogie in my booty.
And Sharp just leaves the ring.
Well, you know.
On account of his dancing.
He's Canada's premier athlete, and he's here to have a serious athletic contest. And, you know, you got this yokel in here dancing and playing to the crowd. You know, Mike Sharp's disgusted. Gorilla Monsoon's disgusted. You're taking a piss all over the business, man.
Why,
goddamn.
Why aren't more people doing that Mike Sharp walk all the way to the back?
Yeah, know? Like, I literally don't think I've seen somebody do that in 10 years. Like, I can't remember the last time.
Absolutely.
Great heel move. Pretend like you're giving up. You're going to leave.
You go all the way behind the curtain.
Just really piss off the fans.
And then you come back like, no, fuck it, no.
I guess you can't really do it because these entrance ramps are like 3/4 of a mile these
days. Yeah, but they don't enforce that 20 count, man.
That's a good 15-minute walk to the back. They just don't have the time. They don't have the time on these 4-hour programs.
These guys killed it. It was a great match, man.
Great match. Right guy won. Finally, Iron Mike Sharp. He should have been.
That's our guy.
He should have been in there against Hogan.
That's our guy.
You should be able to look back at the 80s and be like, that big WrestleMania match for Mike
come
Sharp
on.
And Hogan, like, that
just
was
them both
legendary.
Making noise. Them both making noise. Just
Whoosha.
Hulk just...
Whoosha.
Sharp just... Ah, ah. Oh, come on, man.
Missed opportunity. Where were you on that, Vince?
So mad right now.
So, yeah, right now, at least so getting mad to see this win is probably the best thing that's happened in my life in months.
Why wasn't Hogan on that roster?
This is probably the only moment of real joy I've experienced in at least a year and a half.
Why wasn't Hogan on that Raw show?
You can't put Hogan on the Raw shows because he was on tape saying racist stuff, and that means he no longer exists.
But Vince said the same word.
Vince... We've been through this. Vince is an honorary black person, and everyone knows that. He can say whatever he wants. Hulk Hogan is a honky. That's
but he tagged so many times with a
Hollywood
Junkyard
Hulk
Dog.
Honky is originally what they were going to call him.
Hollywood Hulk Honky?
Yeah.
I don't think so. But he tagged with
such a Florida hillbilly.
He tagged with Junkyard Dog, man.
Yeah, and then that guy died.
Did he?
Yeah, coincidence? You think so? No.
He's dead. He is dead, right?
Oh, he's deader than dead.
I don't know if he's dead anymore.
He's deader than Gene Okerlund at this point. That's as dead as you can get.
His skin was so many different colors.
He looked like you were rotting.
Remember how all the different...
Cash in those chips, buddy.
All the different colors
of
his
skin. What are you sticking around for at this point?
Yeah. Remember when they had all the wrestlers in that poker game?
That
big APA poker game?
The 25-year Raw anymore.
No, let's keep talking about it.
I was riding the high talking about that, Mike Sharp.
Back in the high life again.
That's a feel-good favorite.
I love Steve.
That does it for it. For the five count, right? We all got all of our fives out?
Yeah.
We got all our fives out? Okay. Yeah.
Mike Sharp,
good
dude.
Don't get sad, because even though the five count's over, we still got a three count coming up. And this is a big one.
I'm going to see if I can put a three-count song together.
This is a big
one. I'm feeling it.
All right.
I got a couple beers in me.
I'm just going to, like, you know, go out back, run some laps, just work up a sweat.
Do some wind sprints?
Do some sprinting.
Some suicides?
Some burpees or something. I'm going to get pumped up for this three-count.
Yeah.
Y'all going to listen to some commercials, and we'll talk to you in a minute.
Y'all got tripping?
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Oh, a commercial break. I'm so hungry. What am I going to fix? I got it. New microwave hot bites chicken nuggets. Made especially for microwaves to taste great. Perfect. I'll be back in 2 minutes when they're done.
It's the late show you've been waiting for as Night Flight opens its vault with the wildest array of feature-length music and cult films on TV.
Look at them. They'll be rocked and rolled. They'll all shake and dance.
It's pure funk. American New Wave. It's music classics and the wonderfully wicked works of Warhol. It's movies, the likes of which television has never seen until Night Flight. At 1 a.m. Eastern Friday and 11 p.m. Eastern Saturday.
Hey, you cartoon maniacs! All aboard! Jump aboard! Swim aboard! Fly aboard! Swing aboard! Run aboard! Race aboard! Climb aboard! Do anything! But pull yourself together in time for the USA Weekend Cartoon Express! We'll be by to pick you up at your favorite station, Saturdays at 5, and on Sundays all morning long! So give a cheer and join us on the USA Weekend Cartoon Express!
In your opinion, what would happen if you told a lie?
And my mother knew about it. She'd hit me. Mother's baking me.
I would probably get my mouth washed off with soap again.
You'd feel bad. And everybody else would feel bad too, because she told a lie.
Well, my father would have a long, long discussion over it.
My mommy would be a little mad at me, but she wouldn't punish me.
Either get grounded or in deep trouble.
I can't watch TV for a month. I get punished for a whole week.
She might punish me a little bit, like I can't talk on the phone or something like that.
My nose would go big.
Okay, I'm back. Oh, great. 6 breast meat nuggets with dipping sauce. It's too good to be true. Well, on with the show.
New microwave hot bites from Banquet. You could have made some in 2 minutes, too.
Me mind on fire. Me soul on fire. Feeling 3-3 count.
Oh, great. You didn't think we were going to have one. You thought it was all bluster. They're not going to be able to think of a good 3-count song.
Hey, me feeling 3-count.
We really made you look like dummies.
Remember, he was in
was probably the best one yet.
He was in the
New
some
York
movie,
Dallas, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, no, he was in the New York Dallas for definite.
Mr. Buster Poindexter, R.I.P. If he's dead.
No, he's still. I think he's still.
Oh, what good news!
He was in Scrooged.
He was in Scrooged.
We talked about that around Christmas. He was in
the
some
real success story.
They had some kind of shitty police movie that he was in.
That's ringing a bell, man. That's ringing a bell.
And
he
had like
Andrew Dice Clay movie.
I don't know, but he was in this police movie, and I remember the trailer specifically. And he like has the tagline.
Oh, this
where
is good.
He has the tagline where he's like,
"This is gonna be good."
Something like what? One sick puppy. He's like, "You're one sick puppy."
That's yeah,
or
that's,
something.
You could put that on a T-shirt.
Put it on the Bing right now.
Binging
get
it.
His movies. Get
it.
All
I'm
his movies. I'll keep carrying
what
the show
this guy's
right
been
now.
In.
He had some movie. It was a police movie, and I just remember him just like in the trailer just being like, "Oh, this guy's one sick puppy," or something along those lines. And like me and all my little kid friends were just like,
"David Johansen?
That's
is that
some,
his real name?
That's some hilarious shit right there." Well, I just assume you just search Dexter Poindexter.
That's what I did, but it's not showing me anything, and then it's giving me some guy David Johansen, and I'm like, why are you showing me that instead? Guessing that's got to
be
Buster Poindexter's
his name,
real name.
He was in some kind of cop movie. I don't know if it was like a Car 54 Where Are You remake.
Car 54 Where Are You remake, of course.
Is that?
Of
is that,
course he was in
he
that.
Was
there,
is that the one?
That. Yeah.
David Johansen, John McGinley, Fran Drescher, Nipsey Russell, Rosie O'Donnell, Daniel Baldwin, Jeremy Piven, Tone Loc, The Ramones, and Al Lewis. Car 54, Where Are You?
Audio.
Free Jack, a little film called
was
Free,
he in
Jack,
Free Jack,
one of my favorites.
You and I both love Free
Tales
Jack,
from the Dark
man.
Side, the movie. He's in a lot more than I was remembering initially.
Free Jack is so good.
Buster Poindexter's acting career might have been bigger than his singing career.
Free Jack.
Singer at party in an episode of Miami Vice.
Free
that's
Jack.
How you know you made it.
Free Jack is a... That's Emilio, right?
Emilio paired with one of the greatest screen actors of all time.
Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger.
Oh, God. That's such a good movie. He gets free jacked.
That big, crazy, mind-blowing ending.
He's in that like Formula One race car crashes.
Big
and he gets
fiery
free jacked.
Explosion. And he's like,
what
I
the
got,
fuck was that movie
I got
about?
Hot young girlfriend, played by Rene Russo, but then I get brought into the future, and probably she's going to be real
what
old.
Year? Do you
still looking good, though.
You got a date on that film?
When it came out?
Yeah.
1992.
92, okay. Yeah. So I was 9 years old.
Won the Academy Award, 92. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, all the Academy Awards that year. It was like what's the one?
Oh, man, that bald dude from Breaking Bad was in Free Jack. I don't even remember that. Amanda Plummer, she's a great actress.
I watched that shit when I was like 9, 10 years old.
Like, I think that was like a big HBO film back in the day, probably. Because if I had to guesstimate how many times I've seen Free Jack, I would say 300 times.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't have the cables.
Uh-huh.
Because we moved from the ghetto.
Ugh, poor people.
To the suburbs.
Gross.
And the cable company screwed up and didn't move our cable over.
Oh, we got a Hulk Hogan tie-in. Buster Poindexter co-starred with him and Mr. Nanny.
Get the fuck out of here.
That's going to be another one of our big movie episodes.
Oh, snip snap.
We got so many plans.
That's huge news.
So many things on the back burner right now.
I didn't have the cable. We watched Free Jack on a VHS.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember just like as a young child just being like, that was a really great movie. Yeah.
Things they're coming up with these days.
But I don't remember anything about it.
These Hollywood writers are real geniuses. Anything about it.
The Hollywood movies back then, they were better.
Across the board.
You know why?
Why?
Some of my favorite movies, man. You know, you got the Star Wars there. You got the Blade Runners.
I know that stuff.
They used real miniatures.
Uh-huh. That stuff's good.
Real special effects.
Real craftsmen back in the day.
They used real props.
You know what else worked out is all that cocaine that Joel Silver was on, and he was just making cocaine-fueled decisions about everything.
Well, yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It just led to shit like Predator.
The biggest thrill for me was when we hit wardrobe, and I happened to view Arnold's wardrobe tape, and when my arms taped out 1 inch bigger than Mr. Olympia's, that made Jesse Ventura feel pretty good.
Well, I'm very happy about that, because then my joke worked. Because I told the wardrobe department they should tell him that, so I can bet him a bottle of champagne afterwards when he comes to the gym. He came to the gym 2 days later and he says, you know something, Arnold? We should measure our arms. Who has bigger arms? I said, of course we should. I said, let's bet a bottle of champagne. He says, of course we should. And then we measured it and my arm was 3 inches bigger than his.
What the fuck?
And he lost a bottle of champagne. So, I mean, you know, the psycho trips, they work on everybody, on bodybuilders and also on wrestlers.
We got all these beefy guys in this movie. Figure out ways to get all their shirts off? Yeah, we gotta have them flexing. We gotta have, like, most shots have to be them flexing. Give me another line. We gotta go out to the jungle. Why are you doing that?
Doing the Predator music,
okay,
dog.
I know, but you're banging all over that thing.
That's not very loud.
Somebody's head's gonna blow up.
Who's banging on those drums? What is that, Hawaiian noises?
What? I think those are Hawaiian
banging
noises.
Banging on those bongos like a chimpanzee.
We should investigate where these Hawaiian noises are coming from.
Why was it okay for him to say f***?
That little
in
F
that
word?
Song.
Yeah, why?
Why?
He's not on the 25th anniversary Raw either.
That little f***. Got his own jet airplane.
Listen, man, we're talking 80s cinema. Have you ever seen a single movie from the 80s that had either like teenagers or a horror movie or something where somebody wasn't called a
That's fair.
Everybody was saying it. It was the cool thing to do.
Hey, you know what ties into both that song and our love for 80s cinema?
What?
UHF. What
we got it all on UHF. Great song. Does anybody get called the F word in that movie?
I don't think so. Well, I don't know.
I know it was the 80s,
but he does the Beverly Hillbillies, but I don't think he says the F word.
A sweet, sweet man, and he was, you know, talking bad about the gay community, who I love, by the way.
Yeah.
I want to go on record. Gay people, way better than straight people.
Oh, yeah.
Their neighborhoods are always really nice. They don't have a bunch of snot-nosed little children running around.
They got adorable dogs.
Ugh, God bless them. Yeah. I'm sorry for the 80s gay people.
Yeah.
I don't know what we were thinking.
It's a witch hunt.
It was a Salem witch hunt back then.
But now, it's cool, man. It's cool.
It's cool that we're all cool. It's hashtag no more rape. Hashtag no more F-word in movies.
No more F-word.
Don't do it.
But seriously, if you haven't seen UHF in a while,
you want.
Go watch UHF.
I have seen it. Pretty recently, and I'm going to watch it again.
Yeah, I love that movie.
You can't stop me.
We were talking about props.
Yeah. We kind of got into it organically a little bit last year.
Yeah.
This guy over here.
We're deep into January now. It ain't last year anymore. Last week.
Deep in old man
signature
January.
Signature props in 80s pro drawers. Wrestling. It seemed like back in the day, about at least like one out of every three wrestlers had a thing that they drugged to the ring with them all the time. That was like what they were known for. That guy's always carrying that thing around. You know, it was a nice little add-on to your gimmick. It was a lot of different uses, which I'm sure we'll get into as we discuss this here, because we're doing best three signature props. Another dead thing. You're not seeing it in wrestling anymore. Bring it back, because it worked wonders for these guys. Let's get into this three count. What is your number three signature prop?
The three count!
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
When?
Right now.
Getting into it. Why didn't you say something, man?
That was the whole lead up I just did.
Okay.
Sometimes I feel like you don't hear a word I say.
Sometimes I feel like I'm doing my own show and I don't know why you're
like
here.
Chicken tonight. Like chicken tonight. You remember chicken that commercial? Tonight.
Those traffic guards.
I never had any chicken tonight.
I did.
I loved their commercial.
I hated it.
I should have tried their product.
Sometimes my mom would be like, I'm making chicken tonight, and I'd be like, that shit's garbage. Just make regular chicken.
Woman, why are you always cutting corners with our chicken dishes?
I don't want chicken tonight. I want regular chicken. People carrying props, and you said nobody carries props anymore.
No.
People do carry a prop these
Who's
days.
Who's carrying props these days? I don't believe it. Prove me wrong.
Well, it used to be
going
one,
out on a limb saying it, nobody's doing it.
It used to be one person, but now it's two people every year. Carry it.
Okay, what are we talking about?
Come on.
I don't know.
Give it some thought.
The Stanley Cup?
Who's carrying shit anymore in wrestling?
I don't know. I'm not watching
wrestling. Carrying it around like, oh, I might use it. I might use it.
Are you talking about that Money in the Bank briefcase thing? Okay.
But where did that start?
That started probably with, you know, IRS bringing around a briefcase back in the day. Mr. Irwin R. Scheister.
And that's my first guy on the list.
Oh, wow.
Irwin R. Scheister.
Good for him for making the list.
That steel
case,
man. Is
this 2 weeks
man.
In a row of him making a three count list?
It might be.
It's at least two in the last three.
It might be.
He's really showing up. This is a late career resurgence for him.
That steel case, that steel briefcase.
That royalty
man.
Check's going to be in the mail. Every time we mention your name, IRS, you know how it works.
It would have been so easy for me to just pick Million Dollar Man and his Million Dollar Belt. You know,
so easy.
Like everybody loves that. I get
it's
it.
Great.
I love that belt too. But how about Irwin R. Scheister?
Where's the love?
And his briefcase full of taxes. He's watching everybody. He's auditing people.
First off, people who carry around briefcases look like just nerds, just like pencil pushing nerds. So
he
I
didn't
hate that.
Care.
I'm gonna
he
hate
didn't
that.
Care. He didn't
Second
care.
Second off, he's hitting people in the head with that. That's cheating.
Yeah,
that's making me mad. Very versatile.
He carries it around. And then literally decades later, McMahon's like, you know what was a great gimmick?
Steve Mongo McMichael carrying around that briefcase in 90s Nitros.
Steve Mongo McMichael. He's a good guy too.
Vince, I didn't know you were such a big Mongo fan.
I loved Mongo carrying around that chihuahua sticking his thumb up his ass,
oh,
pal.
Beefy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was a... Speaking of signature props, this isn't a 90s show, but man, that Fifi, you were
that was a good
burning
prop.
Up the that
was
airwaves.
A good prop.
Carrying her around Mongo. Good
I love it. I feel that Mikey Rotundo's Bo Dallas's daddy, I feel like he set the standard for that Money in the Bank Money in the Bank
we know
beefcase.
Where you're going. We're
beefcake.
Reading between the lines.
The Money in the Bank beefcake.
A beefcase sounds like something I could go for.
Beefcase
right
sounds cool. That sounds like something Tommy Shaitan
selling
could get
a
down on.
And how much is it? Because
I'm
in the market for one.
Oh, just a... Think about this.
I'm thinking
an
right
entire
now.
Briefcase,
sure,
full of some.
So many
you know,
get some like jerkies in
I
there.
I don't know. Is it gonna be maybe? Is it Pops? Who's making it? Just a briefcase
Open
lined
this
of Italian
brisket,
just Chicago style Italian roast beef.
Italians.
You got the French breads. They're cut open.
I want mine wet. Give it a
you
dip.
You got to dip that. You
get
got
some
the
of that Jardiniere on there.
How much Jardiniere do you got?
Just keep
all
it coming.
It.
I'll tell you when to
and
quit.
It's just a briefcase full of it, and you're whopping people in the head, and then you take
hey,
a
hurry
sandwich
up with
out.
That beef. I got to get
Eat
to the Bears
sandwich
game.
Out of there. What's that? Browns? Browns?
Browns chicken.
Browns chicken. Love
better.
Browns chicken. And whoever they're teamed up with, they got Al's beef. I don't know.
Either way. They got a beef in the Browns?
They got the beef.
I'm going to go in there and check that shit out.
But IRS, he's doing it right.
Okay.
That's my guy.
My number three. You said it'd be easy, and it is. I'm doing it. Million Dollar Man carrying around his million dollar belt.
Oh, I set him up. You knock him down, pal.
High five.
I set him up. You knock him down.
Tag team partners. Yeah. Making the slots on our list. Not only did they do a great job making that million dollar belt, making it look expensive, making it look cool. Man, this is just fit his character so good. He's telling you, even though he's not good enough to win a belt on his own because of his skill,
he's rich enough to buy one.
So he's got privilege that you don't have. He can just buy a belt and have his own belt. And I look at him like, oh, these fucking rich people, they think they could get away with anything.
Yeah.
It looked great. It got his heel character over. It fit well with him. Oh, I hate these rich assholes. They're rich daddies.
His underlying message was, fuck you.
Yeah. Hey, you, normal guy in the crowd, you disgust me.
Yeah.
Look at your pants you're wearing.
Yeah.
Fucking ill-fitting and stained and dirty because you're just a troglodyte loser.
I used to
loser little kids.
I used to shop at JCPenney, and then my dad got a job.
Don't ever admit that out loud.
Yeah.
My parents don't have to work, because we come from old money, so it would be insulting to them to have to work. And B, I was shopping at Nordstrom's to get, like, my play clothes. That was the cheap shit. You ever put me in a JCPenney, my skin would crawl off my body and I would die.
When's Ted DiBiase Jr. coming back to feud with Bullet Club and Cody?
Oh, I think he was a giant failure as a wrestler, so that's probably not going to happen. How you got such a charismatic dad and then you show up just fucking just a cardboard fucking
loser.
Nothing.
Just a fucking loser.
Were you even really his son?
Did they put the belt on him?
I think old
Did
lady.
Did they put the $1 million shirt on him?
Old lady DiBiase was sleeping around. She could have been. Probably like fuck Terry Taylor or something.
Ooh. He's really, stinks he's of really Terry Taylor.
Terry Taylor Jr.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Sickening. That's sickening.
Get back on positive things again. I don't want to.
That's great that we
worked myself into one two ladder. We did
1-2 that.
1-2 punch.
Sha sha sha.
Two count.
Sha sha sha. That's why you're listening to this shit because we're a well-oiled machine.
No, that's not how you pronounce it. It's oiled, well-oiled machine.
That's my
What's your number two?
Well, I got one.
Come out with it. I'm sitting here at the edge of my seat. I can barely contain myself.
Buddy, I'm gonna tell you right now.
There's a air of excitement in this building.
I say
you cut the attention with a knife.
And I've always said this. I say if it smells good, spray it.
Oh, yeah. That is something you say. And everybody's always like, if what smells good? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about arrogance.
Oh, arrogance. That wildly expensive, insanely fancy perfume that Rick the Model of Martell would market back in the day?
I was a big fan of it as a child. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of it now.
Absolutely.
Just Rick Martell. I can't tell you if he was a good wrestler. I don't really remember.
Oh, yeah, he's very solid.
I don't even care.
Oh, come on, Can-Am Connection. Those guys were over.
Buddy, I don't even care.
All right.
I just loved that he came to the ring with that incesticide and pesticide.
First off, like...
spray can.
Great idea for a gimmick. Just like you come out and you spray the audience with perfume because they stink.
Yeah.
That's fun. But then like 99% of the time, like the guy doing the wrestling would just like come out with a bottle of perfume. Mm-hmm. But he takes it an extra step and puts that shit in a big bug sprayer and just makes like a visual show of it. That takes it to the next level.
Yeah. He was coming out there and he's just... he's arrogant. It's called arrogance. Mm-hmm. That's
really
great.
Gets over the idea that the wrestling fans are pests.
He hates you.
Disgusting little
pests. He hates
pests.
Who he's wrestling. He's better than everyone. It's great shit,
absolutely.
Man. He blinded Jake the Snake Roberts with it. That's why they had the blindfold match.
The only good blindfold match in wrestling history,
one.
I think.
In wrestling history. You know, all of it, yeah.
Rick the Model Martel. Great little worker, like I said.
I say, if it smells good, spray it.
You know, they took him off TV and were repackaging him as the model. He was supposed to come in as a tag team. According to one Don Callis, the color commentator of New Japan Pro Wrestling,
yeah,
the new
the
vice president of Impact Wrestling, he was supposed to come in as a tag team. They were going to be the supermodels together. And then he got a call like, it's not happening. He was like, oh, bummer. And then who shows up on TV as the model but Rick Martel by himself?
I think that could have been really good.
Idea. Yeah, a little case of what could have been. You get a.
I think that could have been really good.
Don Callis.
Don Callis
great
is
talker.
Like
Martel, Fabio, good, of the like, two? Yeah, acting cocky and in the ring, but never cut the greatest promos. Mm-hmm. You get Callis talking too. That could have been a solid tag team.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well. Opportunity missed.
Oh, well. My number
Maybe
two.
Maybe both of them spraying arrogance.
My number two, speaking of blindfold
Your
matches,
number two is diarrhea.
Poop jokes are poop. Good. Quote my late grandmother. Mm-hmm. I don't like it when people talk about farts. Mm-hmm. Farts are private. But I always did enjoy a good poop joke. Jake the Snake Roberts was in that blindfold match, and he carried around my favorite number two prop, Damien the Snake.
A bag?
Damien the Snake.
A green bag?
Inside of a green canvas bag. There was no prop ever more over than Damien.
Which one do you like? Which
you got to get them together.
The bag or the
bag
snake?
And the snake.
Oh, the bag.
And,
okay.
They come as a combo because
what about the
people,
cord?
They want to see the.
What
snake.
What about the cord around the bag?
The cord is incidental. It's just okay. So the
just
snake doesn't
sure.
come out. Because the
sure.
point is, they want to see the snake. When you come out with the bag, they're like, "Ooh, there's the snake."
You
want to
build
to it.
You want
to
see a grown man jacking off a snake like it's his cack.
That was an unfortunate thing that those children did not need to see at that Heroes of Wrestling paper.
Oh, I'm sorry. Continue.
Either way, they'd do all those great shots of the bag, and they'd be like, oh, he's in there.
It's moving.
You know he's in there.
That son of a gun.
The fans would always be like, oh, you think he's going to take it out? You think he's going to take it out? And then at the end, he'd always whip it out.
Duh.
And it was so big, and they couldn't believe it, and people would be screaming.
And
little
you
kids
all
would be scared.
And you all fucking hate Louis C.K. for the same thing.
And it was
shame
just,
on you.
It was just the hypocrites.
Yeah.
Man.
You know what
one
the worst
man
part
whips
is?
Out his snake and you call him a hero. Another one does it and you call him a villain.
The worst part's the hypocrisy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, yeah, sure. Those women shouldn't have had to look at Louis C.K. masturbate if they didn't want to. But that pales in comparison to your hypocrisy. Point the finger back at yourself, people.
It's just a guy doing a thing.
Either way, the prop worked out great. It was all about the build. It was that bag, and it was in there, and people just, oh, man, is it going to come out? It was just a snake.
I love...
If there wasn't the build, it would have just been a guy with a snake. It would have been like Coco coming out with a bird.
Yeah.
The bulldog's coming out with a dog. It's just a guy coming out with something. You don't really think much about it. But Jake,
yeah.
He knows how to make you want
something. He wasn't
something.
Showing you it.
He knows how to
it
make
was
you
like,
want something.
Are you going to see it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I loved when you got a guy in the
I'm
ring.
Make you beg for it.
Yeah. I love... I loved when you got a guy in the ring.
Oh.
Who could sell
yeah.
getting the snake draped
just,
on him.
That's I'm more afraid of that than anything in the fucking world. If you pull that snake out, I am going to lose my
I just wrestled
shit.
A grown-ass man,
mm-hmm.
but this shit might kill me.
This snake is terrifying.
This shit might kill me.
The hep C that I clearly contracted
it's
from
good.
Having my hands all over Jake
it's
the
good.
Snake Roberts.
It's good.
I got no
it's
problems
good.
With that, but
love that shit.
I don't even want to see that snake.
Love that shit.
Get it out of here.
Love all that shit. That's a good pick.
What's your next one? Big number one. Let's get to that number one. Unveil
this is,
it.
This is my favorite shit.
Of all time?
This Ooh. Is my favorite shit.
That's my shit.
And I feel
That's
like
my shit.
People don't realize it enough as a gimmick.
These people, they're not thinkers, you know? These people out there, they're not spending much of their time thinking. That's
I
the
love
problem.
It. I've spoke about it in previous shows.
You know that he has.
I've
it's
spent
on tape.
Many... A minute, an hour, a day as a young ute.
Wow, you're really building up the suspense here. I don't know if I could take it anymore.
Practicing this art.
You're like a young Jake the Snake Roberts right now.
It's not one skill.
No?
Antonio, it's two skills. I'm talking about Mr. Perfect's towel
mm-hmm.
and gum.
A 1-2 combination punch, the towel and the gum.
The towel.
I'm going to allow it. I think they work as a nice little package.
Gum. Because
wow.
he didn't come
you
to the ring.
Old dish rag.
He did not come
you're
to the ring
the
with
rules.
Just one of them, did he?
You're betting the
he
rules.
He never
you're
came
getting...
to the ring with
That's
just
true.
One of them, did he? No. He had the towel in hand. He had the gum in his mouth. And he was going to walk to the ring
mm-hmm.
halfway down. He was going to take the
fail.
Towel and with one hand,
behind his back, throw it up over his shoulder.
Who's throwing a towel around?
And catch it with his other hand.
This guy's
all right.
Too cocky to live.
And then he gets in the ring, and he's got that towel in
Tell
one hand,
more.
Sure. But he's got that free hand, that other hand. There's nothing in it. So he's just going to spit.
Like a nice icy drink or something.
He's going to
have in my hand if I was him.
He's going to spit that gum he's been chomping on out
like
his
an
mouth.
Asshole.
And swat it out of the air and batted into the crowd of yokels.
Right, probably in one of those Hill Jacks froes, just stuck in there.
It was the coolest
gotta have
shit.
Brutus Beefcake, come and cut that gum out of your hair, because
yeah,
he's the only barber in town.
I wanted to throw that towel over my shoulder. I wanted to swat my gum out
Anytime
the air,
you
man.
Anytime you got gum or a towel, you're just doing that.
Like, it was cool. Right?
To this day. It's
we can agree.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's cool.
Very cool.
It's cool. And he always had them, man.
If I thought I could pull it off, I would also walk around with a towel and gum as an affectation. But I feel like people would just be like, you're fooling yourself.
You know how I know it's legit?
That
you know how I know it's legit?
You.
We've talked about it before. What are the brothers like? The brothers like the Taker.
Yeah, Undertaker is one of their favorite things. Number two, I'm going to say replica titles.
That's fair.
Uh-huh.
Number three, Ric Flair.
Yeah.
They love Flair.
Top five, though, is like draping towels over themselves.
Boom.
They go.
It's right up there. It's in the mix. It's in the conversation.
Black dudes got it.
They love towels.
Out,
yeah.
They got. I'm so jealous of all this shit they get to do that I'd look like a fool if I tried
yeah.
to do. But,
you
know,
get,
this is
you
my
get,
lot in life.
You get some young rapper on the game, you know, Lil Shambo's, and he's got
I'm
the towel.
Familiar.
I just made
How's
that.
How's his rapping?
He's the guy. He's the illest. He's like
strong rapping.
He goes. Oh,
I have heard his song. Turns out everywhere I've gone for the last 2 years, I've heard his song.
And he takes the
He's
towel.
He's ubiquitous.
And he throws the towel, and he just catches
Wait,
the towel.
Wait, Lil Shabazz is doing this?
Yeah, little. He calls you Uncle Jay. You call him Lil Shabazz.
Find my book. Find my book. Find my book. By my butt.
And he's just throwing that towel.
Mm-hmm.
He could do that. You could do that. It could be a thing.
I'm going to start trying it. Maybe I could be one of these famous rappers.
Bring the towel back.
Bring the noise. Bring the funk.
And spit the gum. Swat it. Swat it out the sky.
I'm going to get some nicotine gum so I get extra juice.
That's
up when
cool.
I'm doing.
I like that. I like that.
Nicotine gum, I feel like, is a good heel gimmick nobody's using. That's some hillbilly shit.
Could, try to quit smoking.
Yeah, I could get under people's
skin. Hey, Don, try to quit smoking.
Constantly talk about how you're trying to quit
I'm
smoking.
I'm here to wrestle you, pal.
Free idea out there. One of you indie guys wants to take up that I'm trying to quit smoking nicotine gum gimmick. I think you could get it over.
Just yell, it's Nicorette.
My number one, I'm calling right here, the most versatile prop of all time. It works on so many levels.
My ears are open, sir.
Jimmy Hart's megaphone is my number one.
Oh, I grappled with this one, my friend.
So
I
many
wanted
levels
to put
here.
It on there.
Layered. First of all, you could use it for the classic wrestling prop use of just knocking a guy over
Boom.
The head, just hitting him in the noggin and cheating to win a match.
Have you held a megaphone
People
in your
hate
hands?
That.
They got weight.
I have not.
Yeah.
But I always imagined them as having weight, so it's
I
good to know.
I got one.
It's good to know.
I'm going
to
bring it here.
You got a megaphone?
Here. I got it here. I didn't.
Why haven't we been driving around high school
well,
parking lots
thing.
Yelling
here's
at underage girls
here's
every night
thing.
With your fucking megaphone?
I'm ordering some hearts online.
Okay.
We're going to decorate it. It's the classic red and white.
This is my second
I'm
point.
I'm going to get the hearts on there.
The next level this thing works on, his airbrushed, unique to each guy he's managing megaphones.
Yeah.
That's like just carrying around an advertisement with you all the time. Look at this megaphone. It's got the Nasty Boys on it.
Yeah.
Because you should be thinking about the Nasty Boys more. This one is an airbrushed mug of the Honky Tonk Man.
How many megaphones did he have?
It's you can hit somebody over the head with it. You can use it to advertise your guy. And on a third level, it's an actual working megaphone. So this guy can take over the broadcast every time he's out there.
That's the best part.
Everybody on TV hears everything he says.
My favorite
Everybody
part.
In the crowd, it's like you're getting yourself booked to do guest commentary,
yeah.
But you don't actually have to get booked to do guest commentary.
He's
Jimmy Hart's a goddamn
over.
Genius. This megaphone, probably the biggest
over.
Tool in his arsenal. It's why he was, you know, a manager of so many great champions over the course of his career.
Yeah.
And we've talked about him over and over again, what a great guy he is, how every time he shows up, we love him. And I always talk about how underrated he is, and goddamn, I'm maybe putting him as greatest manager of all time now. Everybody's always saying Heyman. Everybody's always saying Heenan. And don't get me wrong, I love them both.
Yeah.
But I think Jimmy Hart, his energy out there, the way he just like brings so much more just kinetic action to a match.
Yeah.
I think he might be the best of all time, and he doesn't get the credit for it.
And I met him, and he was a sweet man. Sweet, sweet man. He's a sweet, sweet man.
And his hair is still black as the night.
My goodness. Black that hair was on point, pal. Goddamn.
Next week, I think we're going to go back to WCW.
No, this is still this week.
We haven't given up on WCW yet.
I have.
Okay. We're going to watch it again, though. Maybe soon we'll just be like, we can't do this anymore.
Oh, you son of a
bitch. The January 16th, 1988.
It's probably going to be terrible.
And then 2 weeks from now, we're coming back. It's going to be a Tuesday night. Did you hear this? You hear them explaining this? We're having a Tuesday night primetime wrestling. The one from January 12th, 1988.
Oh, yeah.
I got to say, that means we're coming up on dog show week. So next week, should we just talk about the dog show? Should we hunt down that 1988 Westminster dog show and do a podcast on it?
I feel like somebody needs to be talking about it. All right,
so yeah, there we go. Next week, back to WCW, and then after that, whole dog podcast show. On the Westminster dog show. Unless it was the tennis night. They also did a tennis night. We'll have to figure it out.
Yeah, well, that's for us to
I'll research
out,
it.
You.
I'm going to get on the Bing. I'm going to figure out what was going out January 11th or whatever. They couldn't do that primetime wrestling. I'll get back to you. I'm good for it.
Where's it going to be?
Right here? It's going to be right here on this show. What's it called?
Baby oil and blow. Baby oil and blow. Baby oil and blow. Blow, 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 blow.